Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our good shepherd and we are his sheep. But wait a minute, sheep, that's actually not a very flattering description. All right, why? Because sheep are helpless animals. And we therefore, we're called sheep because spiritually speaking, that is in things that have to do with God and man, we are utterly helpless and powerless. We are sold under sin and there's nothing we can do to help ourselves get out of it. If God doesn't step into our situation and lift us out and help us, we are lost. The second thing about sheep is that they are prone to wander. Sheep love to get lost. They love to wander away from where the shepherd is. That's the way we are. We would love to say that we are always and ever like rocks, steadfast. Sometimes I wonder whether or not Jesus was being a little bit humorous when he named Peter the rock, right? Because none of us by nature are that way really, spiritually speaking. So we are prone to wander, and that's not a good thing. And if we didn't have a shepherd who came and found us and restored us, we would be lost. And being lost, we have predators that are after us all the time. Who are these predators? Well, first of all, we have the world, right? The world which hates God and hates the word of God and does not in any way appreciate our freedom in the gospel. We also have our own human flesh. We call it the old Adam in us, our old sinful nature. And that keeps clawing its way out of the grave and trying to reassert itself in our life. And we have to keep kicking it in the head and shoving it back under the ground. Right? We do that not by actually kicking something in the head. But we do it by repenting of our sins and believing that for Christ's sake, our sins are forgiven. Right? And then thirdly, we have the devil. And the devil with his accusations and with his temptations and with his deceptions, he endeavors to rob us of our faith in Christ and to drag us down to eternal damnation, which he knows that he will receive. And he's working to take as many of us as he can with him. He's already got everybody in the world by the tail. He's not worried about them. It's you and me, the believers in Christ, the sheep of the good shepherd. That's who he really wants to pull down. And so, just like the wolf is after the sheep, so we have predators. And we are no match for our predators. Can you imagine an actual sheep trying to fight with a wolf? It would look comical, except it'd be tragic. So here, this is the background of our text in the gospel lesson for today. Jesus begins our part of the lesson by saying, "I am the good shepherd." Right? The good shepherd. Now, the word good shepherd takes us to look backward for a moment. He's the good shepherd because he is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, etc. He's reminding us that Psalm 23 is talking about him. He is the good shepherd. Also, in our lesson from Ezekiel this morning, from chapter 34, we learn that the Lord is the one who is the shepherd of Israel. And so he is pointing us back to those Old Testament passages that speak of the Lord as a good and saving shepherd, as opposed to all of the other shepherds, the kings and the prophets and the priests, who weren't doing a very good and useful job. But the Lord always does. And so Jesus is pointing us back to the Old Testament and saying, I am the fulfillment of those words which you have received from your fathers in the Holy Scriptures. But he's also pointing us forward. He is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. What does this mean? Well, first of all, we got to clear something else up. It says, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. So, he's the good shepherd because he's not a hireling. He's not a mere hired hand who's only in it for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. This refers to every substitute for the real religion of Christ. Everything that we look to for the meaning of our life, the significance of our life, everything that we hope for all good things from, whether it be any kind of worldly thing that we get ourselves involved in. You know, people think that they are so wise for outgrowing the Bible and the Christian faith, right? They're so wise for doing that. But then you look at the stupid things that they attach their hearts to, and the goofy things that they begin to trust in and to look to for all good and blessing in their life. And you realize, so that rejecting of Christ and rejecting of the Bible is not really so much smarts as it is the exercise of a perverse heart and soul. Right? Always look beyond the thing that intimidates you to the thing that lies behind it. So anyway, a hireling represents all those substitutes for the real thing. All those things that we look to and trust in and hope for good in. These are represented by the hireling. But the hireling doesn't get the job done. Every false god that we manufacture, every false hope that we embrace, always leaves us with dust in our mouths. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Why? He lays down his life for the sheep. Now here, we have to learn about a fancy word. And that is this. Vicarious satisfaction. Vicarious means to do something in somebody else's place. To do something instead of another person. So, vicarious satisfaction. Satisfaction means to remove God's wrath, to satisfy God's anger, to mollify God. Right? Now, here's the deal. You and I cannot satisfy God's wrath. We are under the law, under sin, under condemnation, facing eternal damnation. That's what we are by nature. We can't change that by anything that we do. So somebody has to come and take our place, stand in our stead, and act on our behalf. This is, somebody has to make satisfaction for sin, and they have to do it for us. That's why Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down or giveth his life for the sheep. He gives up his life, but he does it on behalf of, for the sake of, and in the stead of us, so that we may be saved. And this is a key and central doctrine. And by the way, it is a doctrine that most liberal theologians in the world today utterly reject. It's that old-fashioned Bible talk, you know, about the blood of Jesus and about him shedding his blood for my sins. Yeah, so to them, it's a matter of humor. It's a matter of mockery, because they have discovered their own way of reinterpreting what the Bible so clearly and obviously teaches. We need a redeemer. We need someone to stand in our place. We need to be saved, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. All right? He is able to save us to the uttermost when we come to God by him. His blood is full payment for all of our sins. And this is what he means when he says, the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. So, the vicarious satisfaction, or the vicarious atonement, right? This is a central doctrine of the Christian faith. Once you remove that kind of thinking from Christianity, Christianity becomes meaningless mumbling, right? The Word of God teaches the vicarious satisfaction of Christ. Not only here, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you hear the Word of God telling you something clearly? Don't let the dumb dogs of the theological world deceive you into complacent semi-spirituality. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Vicarious satisfaction. All right, that's number one. Number two, the good shepherd's flock. Let's notice in verse 14, he says again, I am the good shepherd. Right? A shepherd has a flock. Notice what he says here. And I know my sheep. So he has personal knowledge of all of his sheep. What does this mean about Christ? It means, listen, no matter who you are as a believer, no matter how humble or how high and mighty you may be in your calling as a Christian, you have this thing. The Lord Jesus knows you. He knows all about you. He knows you right down to the very core of your being. And in that knowledge, he knows your warts and he knows your good qualities. Right? He knows everything about you, and he loves you. And he has paid for your eternal redemption, despite what he knows about you. He has paid it in full, and he loves you. He says, I know my sheep. But that's not all. He says, I am known of mine. That is, my sheep know me. They know that I am their shepherd. When I speak, they listen, and they understand, and they follow me. You know, one time somebody told me the story about a shepherd. They were in Israel, and they were being told the story of shepherds, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and how the shepherd calls his sheep by voice and all the sheep in the flock that are his, they come out of the pen and they surround their shepherd because they recognize his voice. And then he walks ahead of them and they follow behind him, right? And everybody thought that was a wonderful picture of the Christian church. And then along comes a flock of sheep and a guy behind them, scooting them along, right? And one of the people in the tourist crowd says, wait a minute, I thought you said that the shepherd walks in the front and they follow him. And the tour guide said, well, that's true, but that's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. That's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. So, I know my own and my own know me. And then listen to what he further says. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. So he compares his relationship with his Father in heaven and the Father's relationship with the Son to the relationship that the believers in Christ have with their shepherd. So we are in a most holy and blessed fellowship. We have been received into the flock of God. Listen to what he says further. He says, "The Father, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He repeats that again. When something is repeated, pay attention to it. And then he says, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. So here, this one fold under one shepherd is the Holy Christian Church. It includes Jews in faith and Gentiles in faith, right? And we have been made part of that. There's a passage in 1 John chapter 1. Where he says this, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see that? So he writes to us so that we may have fellowship with the church, that we may be in the flock, that we may be in the fellowship of the church. And the fellowship of the church is fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here we are being shown that by the work of the Good Shepherd, we have been brought into the flock of God, where we are graciously known by the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for us. All right. Last thing I want to talk about is the Good Shepherd's commission and mission. All right. And it says to us here in verse 17, it goes a little further than our gospel lesson for today. In verse 17, it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So, the Father, in love for his Son, and in love for sinners who are lost in their sins and death, in love, the Father has given the Son a commandment, a commission, right? And that commission is the redemption of the world. So when we talk about Christ our Savior, we're also talking about our Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit as our Savior. Not that they died on the cross for us, Christ died on the cross for us, but they are participating with the Son in the redemption of the world. The Father sending his Son and the Spirit anointing the Son so that the Son may prosecute the mission that grows from the commission. So he is commissioned by his Father to redeem the world, and in this commission he has authority, divine authority. And what is that authority? He says, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. So I have power or authority to lay down my life, to give up my life for the sheep. And I have power and authority to take it back again, to rise from the dead. This is the will of my Father in heaven, who gave me commandment. And what this means for us is that the Father and the Son are on the same page. That the love of Christ guarantees to us the love of the Father. And in that we rejoice. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are all in agreement, and we are in fellowship, brought into the holy fellowship and communion of the church. And in that fellowship of the church, we are assured, he who gave his life for us, he knows us, he is graciously disposed towards us, and he gives us the knowledge of himself and eternal life. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.